The text verse for the sermon this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Paul was in prison whilst writing this letter to his favorite congregation in Philippi. He had a very special place in his heart for this congregation because this was the only congregation that supported Paul's ministry financially. And Paul appreciated this support. He appreciated all their prayers and all their care. We also know that this was the first church Paul found with Silas. We also know that this congregation was a loving congregation. They cared for one another. And now Paul is writing to them from prison. We know that Philippi was the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia. It stood near the head of the sea, about 8 miles northwest of Kavala. Today, it's a ruined village. In the time of the Emperor Augustus, this city became a Roman colony with a military settlement of Roman soldiers. It was known as the Miniature Rome, because it was governed by the municipal laws of Rome. It was also governed by the military officers who were appointed by Rome. It's no wonder that Paul writes them in this whole letter. In so many cases, he uses military phrases. In our reading, we heard he said, "Stand firm," as if they are an army that they have to stand firm against the enemy. We also know that these Macedonian converts were very poor people. But despite their poverty, they still contributed financially to the ministry of Paul. They did not allow their poverty to keep them from giving their offerings to Paul. These people were there for him when he needed them. But despite him being in prison under very harsh circumstances, and we know that this must have been very bad for Paul to be in a prison. It was actually not a prison, it was a hole, a dark hole. He reiterates several times through this letter that they must be joyful. Was there something wrong with this man? How can he be joyful amidst these circumstances? But the word that is used to translate joy or happiness is chairo. And this word does not mean a shallow happiness. This word doesn't describe the absence of emotional distress. No, this word say something of his mindset. Although he had enough reason to sulk and to moan, he did not. Instead of feeling sorry for himself, he was thinking of others. Instead of focusing on his own powers, he focused on the power of God. And he allowed God to work through him. He allowed God to transcend all his worries and his troubles, because he was thinking of the needs of others instead of his own. How could he be so joyful? I think to him it was a mindset fueled by his faith, hope and love in the Lord. He experienced the deep peace of God within himself. He focused and he knew that God is powerful. He experienced that he can trust the Lord amidst all his suffering. He had peace with God and with others as well. He could see the workings of the sovereign Lord above all his trying circumstances. He trusted God's control over him. And we also know he made a point to work hard in his faith. He wanted to keep this faith alive. And something of this comes to the fore when we read this letter. Even in our reading this morning, we heard this throughout, that this man is a man of faith. He says in the first line for the congregation that they must stand firm. And again, as I said previously, this language reminds us of military language, as if they must stand firm to all the onslaughts of their faith. They must think of God and His commands instead of focusing on the differences that existed among them. And then in the next verses, Paul addresses these differences that occurred in the congregation. We also get a glimpse of how the early church worked. Women were dominant in this Macedonian church. And apparently, there were two women who argued with one another. We do not know for certain the identity of this woman. We also do not know exactly why these differences existed or the nature of it. But what we do know is Paul was concerned about it. He was concerned about this. So he wrote to them. He said to both women, focus on the Lord. Do not focus on your differences. Rather, work on your unity. Work on the things that draw you together, namely your faith in the Lord. Paul says also to the pastor or the leader or the elder of this congregation that he must help them. He urges the whole congregation to help them, to set their differences apart, because Paul was worried that this congregation might split. But Paul had confidence in this woman. He spoke highly of this woman. He knew they would solve the differences. And then Paul comes to the core of his message. Namely, that they as a congregation can also experience the presence of God's peace among them. But to have this peace will mean that they as a congregation live near to God. That they talk to God through prayer and thanksgiving. But it will also mean that they let their anxiety slip away. Yes, they must cast away everything that worries them. And the word that is used here is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 6. When Jesus said, do not worry about what you eat or drink. Do not worry about your future. Allow God to do it for you. Have the peace of God to know God will look after you. He says to this congregation, if they have this peace, they will have joy. But moreover, they will also have the hope to look beyond their circumstances, how hard it might be. And then he says, they must live as the citizens of the new kingdom. They must believe in such a way that God is glorified through all their actions of faith. And then he identified 7 qualities which should characterize Christians. He says, they must be true. It means in the ethical sense, they must be dependable people. People must be able to depend on them. They must be noble. They must be worthy of respect and honor. They must be responsible and respectable. They must be right. It means they must carry the justness of God with them wherever they are. They must be pure. They must be holy in their lives. They must be lovely. And this word is the only word that we find in the New Testament. It says, and it means actually, that they must live in such a way that other people can see the love of God in them. They must be admirable. They must be praiseworthy. They must not offend other people. They must be excellent in their morals. And they must be praiseworthy. People need to look at their lives and praise God for them. And then Paul says, if this does not help you, you as a congregation can live by my own example. And what an example is Paul to all of us. I think through his example, we can really see how God worked in and through him. Yes, his example directs us again to God. This man knew about suffering and hardship, but he managed to see through all this the loving hand of God. And this made him peaceful. This gave him joy. We are all looking for joy and happiness. Even the world around us wants to lure us into a sort of fake happiness. It seems as if our secular world tells us that happiness is a Christmas tree, lights and shopping and money. And isn't it so ironic that even the power of money could not stand firm? Yes, even the kingdom of money toppled over. But despite this, there are so many people that think that money will make them happy and give them joy. There's even people in our world who think alcohol and drugs can make them happy this Christmas. No, if we want to experience the joy of Christmas, if we want to be like Mary, who was joyful about the coming of Jesus, then we must have peace with God. And to have peace with God will mean that we change our lives. It will mean that we will change our lives to pray and to thank the good Lord every moment of every day. It will also mean that we cast away all our worries and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will mean that you and I forget about ourselves and focus on God and focus on the actions God wants us to do in this place. It will mean a life in obedience to God, where He alone is in charge. If we want this peace that transcends all our suffering, worries and troubles, we need to find it this Christmas in the arms of God. May we go from here and tell it to the world. Let us tell it by our examples. Let us tell the world through our actions, our example, the true meaning of peace and joy this Christmas. Amen.